you use the term that the trial, quote, turned positive. And kind of looking at this from an outside, I was extremely confused because my understanding was that originally, I guess it was in 2004, they closed the study, I thought, because it was positive. And then a couple of years later, they're saying, well, now it's negative. And that kind of didn't make sense to me if they thought it was so strong that they had to close the trial.
Right. I think it's an issue of statistics and how we look at these sorts of things.
I mean, was it like the statistical rules were wrong or what?
No, I don't think the statistical rules were wrong, but the statistical rules operate on the predetermined assumptions that you make, the time course of the events, in this case, deaths that occur, the reasons that deaths may be occurring, and all those sorts of issues. And being a member of the Respiratory Committee of CLGB, in accruing to the 9633 trial, we knew this was being monitored by the Data Safety and Monitoring Committee. And at an interim analysis, they looked at the data, and it was clearly, at that point in time, favored the chemotherapy arm of the trial. And so their judgment—
And the curves looked pretty impressive.
And the curves were pretty impressive. And ethically, I think, with the data that our Data Safety Committee was given, you really couldn't have continued that trial and felt good about it from an ethical point of view. So it was closed. Now, then as time goes on and more events occur, and I will add that even the analysis at ASCO 06 is not the final analysis.
So it could turn positive again?
It could turn positive again. It could remain negative. I think what we saw in that trial is the continued benefit in terms of progression-free survival that I thought was— It is statistically significant. I think it's clinically significant. What has happened is that the benefit in overall survival in a relatively small cohort of patients, 343 patients, I think, eroded a little bit. And so the p-value went to, I think, 0.09 or 0.1 or something like that. Now, the hazard ratio, even on the updated one, was about 0.8. Remember, that is better than the hazard ratio for the LACE meta-analysis for the cisplatin-based data, which was about 0.87. So still, for what we accept as a positive hazard ratio for the adjuvant treatment of lung cancer, the CLGB trial still comes in underneath what we see for the cisplatin-based data. But from a statistical point of view, it doesn't achieve that, the conventional level of less than 0.05.
It's really amazing because, I mean, this really changed the way investigators did adjuvant therapy. I'm not so sure about the docs in practice, what they did.
Right. I think it was a source of confusion. It did influence the upcoming intergroup trial with
right.
bevacizumab in that they changed their eligibility criteria but did allow the larger 1B patients to be entered.
I guess just to summarize this, it's pretty clear why this might be one of the most common questions that you get, because
right.
it is quite confusing
right.
and maybe a little counterintuitive for a doc who's walking into the next room dealing with a colon cancer patient, next room breast cancer patient, where all these sort of things, same concepts, same issues all the time.
Right.